listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. Welcome to my couch. I hope you enjoy the next almost hour because I'll be answering a lot of your questions, listeners, that you wrote me. We're going to be covering a wide array of subjects today. Woo! From how to not be so perfect and paranoid to how to manage my anger. How to deal with stress. How can I make my life better? That's what we all want to know, right? Sure. We all got those issues. We want to have a better life together. By the way, if you want to email me, as the listeners whose questions I'm answering today did, and you want to have any comments or anything about some of the suggestions I give, or comments or questions about the other listeners' stuff, or help them out. Gee, everybody always needs some advice. It's kind of like your live blog here. Live blog on LA Talk Radio, the world's most popular and listened to internet talk radio station. You can contact me. Sure you can. Check out my website. It's drmichelletherapy.com. DrMichelle with two L's, therapy.com. You can certainly do that. Or, of course, you can link on to my email, which is my business, right here at the station, docmichelle@aol.com. Let me know what you'd like to talk about, or if you have an issue, a pressing issue, any kind of questions you'd like to ask. I'll be happy to try to help you out and write you back, get your permission. Usually I don't use your real name, which is cool. It's all right. I mean, who's going to know anyway? But if you're worried about that, that's fine. So that's the way it works. If you want to call in, do so. We do live calls here, and this is another free-for-all Friday. So it's lots of fun. I encourage everybody to call in and ask questions about anything they want to, mostly pertaining to their issues or problems or questions about things going on at 323 Los Angeles area code here in beautiful Southern California. 323-203-0815. That's the number, 323-203-0815. I'll be giving that number out again. If you want to call in, we can talk. Let's talk, baby. So, as I said, I am your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle, and we do not have a therapeutic relationship, you and I. We do have some, you know, information giving. I will give you some advice, suggestions, things like that. Help you out a little bit, maybe. Tell you what other people have said, and you get to decide. How's that? I don't want any blame, and Dr. Michelle told me that I'm just saying, this is suggestions. You know, don't worry about it. So, as I said, we're going to talk about a lot of issues. A lot of listeners have written me things about self-consciousness. How to empower yourself. Some of the reality. What's reality? How can I get my booty back into reality and get my life back on track? What are some of the most common misconceptions and things that people do to themselves? What do people do to themselves that really screw them up? Well, you know, a lot of cognitive behavioral therapists look at some common ways of thinking. Yeah, you can call them cognitive distortions or irrational thinking or whatever you want to call it. But here are some of the most common things that people who have problems believe. All right? I hope you're listening, Mel. Number one, I believe others cause my feelings. You know what? Get real. Nobody else causes your feelings except you. You feel what you feel. That's all about you. Take responsibility for it. Figure out why other people are stirring you up so much. See somebody who can tell you what targets are yours. What are little things that really make you mad, that make you feel hurt? You know, based on experiences in the past. Come on, no-brainer stuff. So one of the most common misconceptions that people who really have problems believe is that I think others cause my feelings. Yeah, that's how you react to it. It's what you're buying into and how, you know, you are personalizing what they're saying. Yeah, sure, somebody can, I hate you. You're a jerk. I think you're stupid. You know, all that stuff that we get sometimes growing up from parents who are not very healthy. Yeah. They can cause our feelings of sadness and depression and low self-esteem and all that. But in the long run, no one causes your feelings. You take the power for your feelings. You're the one responsible. All right. Something else a lot of people do. It's kind of different, but I mean, they constantly criticize themselves. And this also comes from possible criticism from childhood or situations in your life where you felt that you weren't enough. It's low self-esteem. You're never enough of enough of enough of enough. I constantly criticize myself. This is a really common trait that I see in a lot of clients who come to see me. I'm not good enough. I didn't do that perfect enough. I'm not great enough. I'm not enough of enough. That's really a common characteristic that a lot of people have who are kind of depressed and anxious and having trouble. I constantly criticize myself. Why? Look at it, figure out why, and move on. And try to be the best you can. And there's no such thing as perfection, ever. Which leads me to a similar issue. A lot of folks think that they must do everything perfectly or not at all. Black or white. Perfect or not at all. Perfect or... what the hell is perfect? It's perfect for you. You know, people who have to do something perfect or not at all really push a lot of people away in their lives. They're kind of creepy to be around. I put this exactly in the place it was. This has to be perfectly folded. This has to be perfect. Ooh. Okay, now there's a difference between living in, you know, a pigsty and being a hoarder, not being able to walk through your apartment or your house. No. But perfection? Again, what is that? I must do everything perfectly or not at all. And that means that everybody else has to conform to what you want. So get over it! No, nothing is perfect. Be okay with your accomplishments and what you do every day. Don't push your perfection on other people too. Or yourself makes you neurotic. It's an old word. Something else that, you know, I see in a lot of people who have issues, common traits, they always apologize for something, you know, and that usually comes from situation, early upbringing from someone, somewhere, to where they were made to feel that they weren't enough of enough. They weren't enough. So they have to watch everything that they do. And, they were naughty children. They were expressing themselves and they were criticized a lot and they were chastised and punished. They're apologizing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Have you ever had a mate or girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, who says, I'm sorry? And you're like, what? You're driving me crazy. Stop apologizing. Because they have to walk on eggshells and they feel they have to from some parent or another, possibly growing up, like I said. So that's another common trait that I see. Another one is, which is real similar to that, is a lot of people bend over backwards to please others. Remember the movie Mommy Dearest? Joan Crawford, the story about Joan Crawford? Yeah. That's a lot of times what a lot of people who do this have dealt with, not possibly even so severe. But we feel that we have to bend over backwards to please others because if we don't, then the other person's, you know, we take on responsibility for someone else's emotions. Mommy dearest, daddy dearest, grandma, grandpa, whoever, siblings, whatever. We have to be really careful because we can't, you know, say anything to hurt them. We're not going to, oh, we're so responsible for, there we go, from the top, like I said. I cause others' feelings. I'm so responsible for everybody else. Now, it's nice to have appropriate manners. It's nice to be kind to people. Pleasing others. Yeah, you learn good manners. Right, there's nothing wrong with that. But thinking that you're responsible for other people all the time is not healthy for you. Okay, what are some of the other things that I see in a lot of people who have issues? Some of the really common problems that mess them up. We tend to look on the negative side of things, right? I hear this every day. And the glass is always half empty instead of half full. Everything's negative. Everything is not good. Oh, God, this is terrible. My spouse did this. My sibling told me this. My jerk of a boss told me this. You know, I'm trying the best I can. The world is horrible. Politics, everybody's screwed up. The economy's screwed up. Well, that's true. But nonetheless, it's everybody's, you know, working on the negative, and you're feeding it. You're growing neural patterns about negativity. You're growing it, baby. You're making it work for yourself. You're feeding it. What are you getting out of it? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe an addiction to that rush of anger. So if you can just back off, truly, all of this stuff about thinking more positive and affirmations truly has been supported to sufficiently help people in research. So you tend to look on the negative side of things. Just stop. Who put a lot of that in your brain growing up? Who was always negative? You know, a lot of our parents were very fearful in the previous generation. They were very fearful. And rightly so. There was a lot of stuff going on. There has been. But the new generation, we all say, be a little more peaceful. Try not to allow the fears to, you know, totally disable you. That's what it's about. Okay? Let's see here. What's some of the other things that people do that really mess them up? Yeah. And I have a question from a listener about this that I'll be covering in a little bit. But it's hard for me to forgive and forget. If somebody hurts me, I always hang on to that feeling. Now, that's a really common biggie. You know, they hang on to mommy dearest. Let her go. Let her go. You're grown up. You take responsibilities for who you wish to surround yourself with. Let it go. Move on. Get some treatment. Work through it. Talk it out. Understand it. Understand who they were and why they did what they did. And move on. So you don't get into that cycle and put your crap on other people too. So forgive and forget. Now, forgetting, that's a hard one. Maybe I'll try to forgive them, but I'll never forget. That's fine. But if you perseverate on stuff all the time, you know, I'm never going to forget it. They did this to me. If you're thinking about it, ruminating, I'll never forget what they did to me. I'll never forget how my high school boyfriend hurt me after 2 years of thinking everything was wonderful. And then he had sex with my other girlfriend. I'll never forget them. But I won't forget. Okay, move on. Life changes. Grow up. Move on. Don't be around people who hurt you. Sometimes stuff happens. Sometimes people hurt us. Why? I don't know. You don't have to be their therapist and analyze what their issues are to make them hurt you. But people change. People change relationships. People have their own issues, needs, and wants and all that. You know, you hear about some of these families who have forgiven the murderers of their children. Whew, that's heavy. They've forgiven because, you know, sometimes they're connected to a higher power and they believe that forgiveness is you know, usually the way, they won't forget. Forgiveness. What a difficult situation to do in such an extreme case. But people do that. Now, I'm not asking you to do it. Those are some very highly, highly enlightened people who can forgive murderous acts. But we must find a way when things happen to us that are horrible or not so horrible to move on. To move on. Because that's how we're going to survive. Not denial. Mm-mm. I'm not talking about denial. Shove it down and get yourself crazy later. I'm talking about moving on. Okay? Now, one of the other things that people do, moving on here, that really I see a pattern of, is people say, I feel so helpless. I feel so helpless. What am I going to do? There's so many things in life that I can't do. And I say to that a lot of times, you are not helpless. You just have to give up trying to control everything in your life. You're not helpless. Stuff happens around us. We can't control people. All you can control are your thoughts and your behaviors. Mel. I often feel, I feel so helpless. I'm so worried about so-and-so. What can I do? I can't help them. They're not listening. You can give them as much help as you can. You can put it out there and love them. You can let them know you're there for them. But you can't control them. Unless they're your children, of course. Behavior modification, it's called, you know. But I'm talking about grown-ups a lot of times who feel helpless about their world. I feel helpless to do the little part you can by being kind and loving and good and whatever, a good working person, reaching out to others, and that will make you feel more empowered, not helpless, because you have to keep understanding that what's up with you that you have to control everything. You can't control everything. You cannot do it. You got to give it up, baby. Isn't that Marvin Gaye? Ooh, I'm dating myself now. You got to give it up. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to do, you see? So, you know, we are all helpless sometimes. We all have that sense of helplessness. Oh, my God, what can I do? There's so much going on. The world is so messed up. There's so much hatred. Do what you can do in your little world as a part of making the society better. That's what you can do. Okay. You can practice more ecological patterns. You can be nicer to people. You can work on yourself. You can work on the way you behave and act towards others. You are giving yourself more control over your world, no matter how small it is. You, every person who's contributing to the goodness or the working hard, trying to do the best they can, is putting out that energy that's going to make a little bit better place to live in for all of us. Okay? So those are some of the things that I see. That people do. They really kind of mess themselves up. And that's, you know, I'm just saying. Really common things, themes that I hear. Okay. And so, you know, I said a little bit earlier that one of the most common problems that people have when they come to me is, I think I must do everything perfectly or not at all. Perfectly or not at all. And I always say, you know, what is perfection? So in keeping with that, I'm going to answer a listener's question who emailed me. And dear Dr. Michelle, you from time to time say that perfectionism is an addiction. Come on, are you serious? What are you talking about? I do everything the best I can. And I'm okay with that. Sometimes I get frustrated. But am I an addict? I don't know. Okay. That is, by the way, from Jane. I don't know if that's her real name. But anyway, look, everybody knows a perfectionist. And I talked about this a little bit earlier. The first one you probably knew was one of your parents, right? Mm-hmm. Remember, they used to say, there's only one way to do a thing. There's only one way to do so, and that's their way. You might as well do it right the first time, you know? Because if you don't do it right the first time, you're going to have to do it over and over and over to make it right. Remember all that stuff? Okay. The difficulty for a perfectionist, you guys out there, and Jane, who just wrote me, there's a lot of people who can really measure up to your standards. There's not very many people who can measure up to you. So the result is, what happens is I see a lot of folks are disappointed in almost everyone most of the time. They didn't do this. They weren't good enough about this. My husband is such a slob, he won't do this. You see, this disappointment and the anticipation of being disappointed creates an invisible wall around the perfectionist. So it makes it impossible for you to have meaningful relationships a lot of times, because there's a sense of narcissism there. I'm better. I'm perfect. I can do it all. See, and then there's anxiety that goes with these unfulfilled expectations. And then you get all... You get anxious and angry, and everyone else is not good enough, and you're perfect, and then you criticize yourself, and then you're releasing those neurochemicals. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about addiction. You don't have to be drinking or smoking the bad weed to be an addict. Just kidding. No, I'm not, actually. So here's the thing. Your emotion triggers the release of those neurochemicals. Okay? So... the flood of these chemicals in your brain gives you a rush. You get angry, Mel. It helps you to cope with your disappointments. It also makes you intoxicated enough to believe that you and you are only right. If only all of the others in your life could see it your way. Do it your way. You'd be a lot happier. Would ya? Yeah, you control freak. Perfectionism and anxiety are married. So, Jane, here's the dealio. There's no escaping that fact. So if you have fun, you're one of them. Actually, you're always going to have the other. Okay? You've convinced yourself that's not too big a price to pay to be right and to be perfect. Right? Usually, you're willing to do the job over and over again to do it perfectly. Why would anyone want to settle for average when they could be above average or perfect? Yet you're usually unable to accept praise for your efforts. And you're not able to give anyone else praise, too. So you got to think about that. Yeah, takes very little for you to grow impatient and irritated with others who do not share perfection as a goal. So you got to give up the control. You've got to think about it and give up the control. See? So perfectionism will only get you in trouble. And you do get addicted to those, you know, emotions of anger and being perfect and everybody else. Yeah? See, what happens is there are few people you admire or are close to. You push everybody away. You're really quick to criticize those who would really try to love you and care for you because they're not good enough for you. You see what I'm saying? So what you have to do is not be so perfect all the time. You got to not worry about being perfect. You got to give others some slack. You got to set your own rules. But you know what? Being perfect is really a drag, and it makes people crazy. So you know what? That's what you got to do. You got to give it up. All right. Anyway, if you would want to call in and comment on one of these things, I'm here. The number is 323-203-0815. And this is Dr. Michelle. And what I'm doing is I'm helping you out today. This is Free for All Friday. And what I do is usually I ask you to comment. And I ask you to let me know what's going on. If you have feelings or needs or wants, just like the caller, hopefully right now, on the air. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Richard.
Hey, Richard, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Dr. Michelle?
Good. It's great to hear you.
Oh, it's nice to hear from you.
Where are you calling from?
You have a wonderful show.
Aw, thank you. I'm glad that you're listening.
Listen, I'm... What is up with Mel Gibson? What is going on with that guy? I just can't believe it.
What do you think's going on with him?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Do you think he's nuts?
I think he's crazy.
Yeah.
I just he's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, he's crazy.
What would you get? What advice would you give him as a psychologist?
Okay. Well, see, you know what? He supposedly has a psychologist. Did you know that? Yeah.
I think he said after that rant, he said he has a therapist. I don't know whether it's a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but I'm just absolutely flabbergasted at what he's doing.
I know.
I'm just shocked.
Okay. I know what you're saying. I mean, yeah, I think everybody's shocked. I mean, everybody kind of knows now because of his rants over the years that he's a racist. He's anti-Semitic.
I just love him, though. I love him. I think he's he's a great actor. I just loved him in Braveheart. I just love everything he does.
Okay.
But what would you say to him?
If I was his therapist, I'd say, you need to get into some serious anger management group, dude. You need to go back and find out why you have such hatred and are, so prejudiced against certain groups of people. Do you know about his history at all? Have you ever read any stuff about his history?
I've seen interviews, and I've followed Mel, through many, many years.
Yeah.
But I think that Roxana or Oksana, whatever her name is, I think she's a bitch.
Well, you know what? She is a bitch because she's putting his stuff on. She's secretly been taping him. But I mean, no, truly.
Yeah, can you believe that? She's taping him.
Yeah, that's right.
She's setting him up.
Well,
she's just one of those TV, those Hollywood whores.
Well,
I'm telling you, she's terrible.
Why would you say she's a Hollywood whore?
Oh, she dated that Timothy Dalton. She had a child with him.
Right.
And now she's got a child with Mel.
Yeah.
You know, the next person she's going to probably is get Brad Pitt. You know, it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you know, she and Angelina do look a lot alike, so you may have a point there. No, I'm just kidding.
She's got the big lips and the whole shot. You know, I just think it's just disgusting.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what, Richard. Whatever. Look, we can both agree that the way he's talking to her, Mel's a good-looking guy. You know, he's always had this really cool presence.
He's gorgeous.
But you know what, Richard? He may be gorgeous, but he's not what women want. Did you see that movie?
Oh, that's corny.
You get it? I know it's
corny.
Oh,
you're so funny.
I know I'm so funny. I know I am. But look, here's the deal. He is not that I don't know. Wow, he must have pulled something, out of the actor's book there to create that wonderful, warm, loving partner that he was. Here's the thing. Mel grew up with 9 brothers and sisters. Okay?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He was in the middle. He was like child number 6 or something like that. So I don't know. You know, they talk about middle children. You know, children kind of in the middle and how they get lost in all the other kids and they get pushed aside and everybody else has to take care of everybody else. But the deal is what concerns me, too, about, he was raised in a home. I mean, very staunch Catholic Irish home. And
yes, I know that.
Right.
Yeah.
Some of the family friends used to talk about, how the dad used to lecture all the 10 children every night. About the evil of the English Protestants. I can't say it. Protestants and how evil everyone else was who didn't believe in their religion, the Catholicism, and everyone else was going to go to a bad place. And, indeed. You've seen his movie, The Patriot, how he portrayed the English in Braveheart. You said you love that movie,
yeah.
Braveheart, right? I mean, they were brutal, evil, and, so, I mean... Do you know his kid? His dad moved his kids to Australia. The whole family, but the young men especially, so they didn't have to go to war to Vietnam. Did you know that?
You know what? I didn't know that. But that's all well and good. But listen, I truly think that his screws are being turned right now by that bitch.
Well,
I really do.
Well, of course
I really,
they are.
Truly do.
Okay.
And it's very, very sad that everyone's ganging up on him. I think you should have him on your show.
Well, okay, I'd love to get him.
I truly think that
he's keeping a low profile right now, though. Don't you know that? Because
he needs to have someone to defend him.
Well,
he needs to have someone who defends him.
I'll tell you
he's a good guy. Look, we all have skeletons. We all have problems.
Ooh.
He is a good man, and he needs to be protected.
Richard, what's good about someone who calls African Americans the N-word and says that they travel in packs?
Everyone makes mistakes.
What?
Come on. Dr. Michelle.
Okay, let me ask you this one, Richard. How do you feel about his oppression and his statements about gays? He hates gay people. They're sinners. They're not supposed to be on this earth. How do you feel about that, Richard?
What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to say?
Well,
Dr.
I don't know. I'm asking you. What do you
think? What am I supposed
that?
To say? I don't know him.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just shocked.
Yeah,
listen to those tapes, mm-hmm. and she's taping him, and she's just spurring him on, and it's like a knife in his heart.
She's not.
He's
spurring
a good
him
man.
On.
He needs defending. You know, everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah, everyone makes mistakes, but he's been making them over and over and over. And you think that his publicist or his therapist or some people would say, you know what, dude, you got to chill out on these racial statements, these anti-Semitic statements, these homophobia statements. You've got to stop drinking, dude. You got to get yourself some help and manage your anger. I mean, you've heard him on those tapes. I mean, he's crazy, Richard. I mean, yeah, the woman was passive aggressive to set him up. It's all about the court case and the money, for sure. But you also heard that he supposedly hit her and the baby. So these are some court documents, supposedly. The baby has a bruise where he slapped her.
That?
Yes, go ahead. Not the baby.
Did
he didn't
you see
slap
that?
The baby.
Did you see that ridiculous music video that he did for her?
Oh yeah, that's...
She's just in it for the money.
I don't think particularly she's that talented. But that was nice of him as a husband to make that, or not a husband, as a yeah, partner to make that.
As a boyfriend,
right,
whatever.
To make that music
father
video.
Father to sperm donor.
I'm really
I just think it's terrible.
I'm really surprised that you're supporting him because of his. Don't you think people who are openly racist and homophobic have a lot of problems? I mean, I know you think he said he's really gorgeous. I get that. But can you kind of look beyond that and see that this man is full of rage and hate and anger? I mean, I'd love you to
listen,
come on.
Listen, if you had to sleep with that woman, okay?
Yeah, it sounds like you had a good time.
It would screw you up, too.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't agree with you on that. But I'll tell you what. I do believe that taping him was passive-aggressive and sneaky, and it's all being, you know... It's evidence for, really, he's going to be screwed over in court. If this dude laid a hand on, you know, if he hit her and then the baby got bruised and there's evidence of it and the date and the time that it all happened with a police, whatever, he's in deep. The guy's done. He will not get custody.
He just needs to write a check. Just get the bitch out of his life.
Whoa, that's what he's going to have to
terrible.
Do. Okay.
She's absolutely terrible.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Who knows about her? All we're hearing on her side of the tapes is a kind, calm woman. And that, you know, that's how you bait people. You set them up. Sometimes you're very calm and kind and all that. Now, I'm not saying that she isn't a passive aggressive. We don't know much about her or how she has behaved to him. Something's pushing this guy's buttons because his wife of 20 years prior to her, you know, says, you know, he never laid a hand on her. Yeah, he had anger issues, but he never went off crazy like on some, you know, and you hear breathing. You hear his, that's rage that's set off by someone he can't control.
Heavy breathing is not a bad thing. But listen.
You're a comedian. You know that? You're good. Heavy breathing is not a bad. I like you. You're great. But anyway, no, I just don't know how you can, you know, support this guy. We don't know anything, really much of anything, except what the press has reported about her.
We just heard her side.
Right. But
he needs to come out. He needs to say his side. He needs help. Mm.
Yeah, of
okay,
course he does.
He needs help.
Yeah.
And I love your show. I think you're wonderful. And
thank
I think
you.
That you should extend yourself to him and you give wonderful advice.
Thank you.
I just think you're the best.
Thank
and
you.
I'm serious. I just
well, thank
oh,
you.
Oh, Dr. Michelle, I'm just so upset about this.
Oh, I know.
I just
you
wish
are.
You'd stop issuing these stupid recordings.
Well, they're probably out of now. They're probably done. But he's been really keeping.
Well, there was a new one that came out today. I heard.
Oh,
just
today.
Another new one.
Oh, boy,
so
good.
It's just it goes on and on and on.
When you know,
it's ridiculous.
Look, when somebody's recording and it, you know that you hear the death threats, vulgarity that he comes off with. You know, he's full of rage. He's psychologically disordered. He really
is. He doesn't know he's being recorded.
He's dangerous. He's dangerous. He needs some psychiatric intervention. He needs some meds. Mel needs some meds. And also, he needs treatment. He needs to figure out what is, you know, a normal response of anger. That's not a normal response of anger. That's not normal. The dude's going to pass out and die from a heart attack. You know, here's the thing, too, especially if he's drinking, which he probably still is. He's supposed to be going into rehab, by the way. His advisors, his whoever's attorneys, advisors, just like Tiger, just like Jesse, he's supposed to be going to go into rehab pretty soon. He's gearing up for that. Right? Anger management, I guess. You know, not sexual addiction, but anger management. So he's going to rehab. It, for a lot of people, it helps you hit the restart button. Go back. Why are you so crazy? What are you doing? He's got to shut up. Well, he has shut up. These are old tapes now. This is old stuff. And oh, my God. So what's going to happen to him? I don't know. I think he's going to probably, if they have evidence that the baby was hurt when he slapped her or hit her or whatever, he's done. He's not going to get the custody. That's just the way it works. But, you know, he's got great attorneys. He's got good publicity people. They're pulling him back. They're going to get him in rehab. They may kind of look at the image. Tiger Woods. People don't hate Tiger Woods as much now, do they? You think?
I don't know about Tiger. But you know what? I just love Mel. I love his acting. I think he should be, you know, he should come out with another movie, get this behind him, and just get rid of that bitch.
He is just working on another movie.
Throw that bitch in the trash can. She'll probably be screwing someone else.
I'm just telling you. You know what?
Michelle, it's wonderful to talk to you.
It's wonderful to talk to you.
I listen to your show all the time. Okay. I think it's just wonderful.
Well, Richard, I loved hearing from you, and I appreciate you calling and expressing your opinion. I disagree with you, but we don't know anything about this woman, but I do know that he's crazy in his outrageous anger, and it's interesting to hear someone defend him, even though he's homophobic and racist and anti-Semitic, and he's full of rage, and he's vulgar. He's disgusting. But, I mean, if you feel that way, you know, maybe, Richard, you ought to read a little bit more about, you know, his upbringing and understand him a little bit more, and maybe you ought to also read about that rage. Are you an angry person? Do you allow yourself to get angry?
No, I'm not angry.
Okay,
I'm
all right, all right. So you're a little more passive.
God has been very good to me. God's been very, very good to me.
Okay. So, well, good to hear it.
I don't have rage.
All right, Richard. I appreciate you calling in. It's nice to hear from you, and thank you for expressing your opinion. All opinions are welcome here on this show. No problems. You get to have yours. I get to have mine.
Thank you, doctor.
All right. You have a wonderful day, and thanks so much for calling.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah, that's always an interesting question. What would I do if I were Mel Gibson's shrink? I would have been working on that dude's anger and alcoholism a long time ago. Long time ago. You know? Pull back. I've been working with his publicist and his management and all those people. Well, how are we going to get this guy looking good in public? He's really messing up his image with all of his negative rages and things like that. I mean, he really does. Which brings me to something else. I'm just going to share with you some of the beliefs that people have about, and this is probably, there's a lot of stuff going on with Mel that really is similar within him. Some of the stuff he may believe that other people are responsible for. I don't know. You know, who knows? Okay. These are some things that maybe people should know about your anger. Now, Mel, if you're listening, here you go, baby. Get the help you need. The events of this world do not make you angry. You create anger by thinking hot thoughts. You attach meanings to events that result in your anger. Hot thoughts. Okay? Old stuff. Go back to your old stuff. Find out what triggered all this stuff. Anger usually doesn't help. You know, if you find creative solutions, it'll make you feel better. Yeah, she pushed a button in you, Mel. There's things going on. Maybe she's fooling around on him. She's passive aggressive. She plays games with him. She does play games by not being open about recording her. But I mean, you know, what is going on? What kind of buttons? Why do you feel so betrayed? Why are you so narcissistic to feel that the world has to revolve around you? Get over some of your dogma. you know, your superiority. A lot of it, I think, comes from his upbringing and his, you know, religious fanaticism, the Catholicism about. And not every, look, I have a lot of Catholic friends. They're not like this. They're not rageaholics and thinking everyone's doomed and going to hell. You know, there's tolerance. That's a big part of all religions, save terrorists, is tolerance. Okay? So, anyway, usually anger thoughts have distortions. You think? Correcting those distortions, and I've talked about cognitive distortions, you know, before. What are cognitive distortions? Just, they're irrational thinking. What's not really true? Your anger is ultimately caused by your belief that somebody's acting unfairly or some event is unjust. Unjust! Mel, what's making the world, what's making this, this dude feels powerless. He's breathing to try to get more air so he can get more power. Ooh! Okay? He's trying to scare her. Beat your chest. Okay. Sometimes people who are angry need to see some of the other person's perspective regarding fairness and justice. I have respect, fairness, justice. If she's really that bad of a person, Mel, and all those things that you call her, she's gonna tape you. Know who she is. But Mel doesn't seem to be one for therapy in group settings or addictions. Hopefully he's getting the help he needs now. By the way, people don't like to be punished. They're going to distance yourselves if you do it to them. The media is going to screw you over, and they have. You know? The short-term gains of your anger and punishment are lost when compared with the long-term losses of your career. Let alone your friends, let alone people trust you, you know. And here's the thing. What kind of self-esteem issues does Mel have? What does he feel so threatened about? Jeez! When you blame the other guy for your feelings of worthlessness, you're always fooling yourself. Come on! You're always fooling yourself when you blame others. That's the end, people! They travel in packs. Well, you know, here's the thing. I don't know if you've ever read any of David Byrne's book. He's a medical doctor. He is a psychologist, too. And the book is called Feeling Good. You know, and he kind of gives ideas about what anger is. Frustration results from unmet expectations. You know? Frustration always results from unrealistic expectation. Okay? So, you know, a lot of people insist that they have the right to be angry. That's distorted. I mean, we all have the right to be angry. It's natural. Anger is natural, of course. Come on. We wouldn't be human. Fight or flight. We got to be angry. We got to beat our chests and all that stuff. But is it useful? Not in his life. Not his kind of anger. You know, he needs to get some therapy, and he will supposedly, according to the gossip, being going into some kind of rehab for his anger management, hopefully for his supposed alcoholism, which he has a problem with that. I don't know what the real deal is, but you know, he's got a lot of stuff going on. So, you know, I don't know. That's in, you know, what was fascinating to me though, is that that Richard guy, he was defending Mel Gibson. He said, I think his whole thing was that he was attracted to him. You know, he said, I think he's gorgeous. Well, that's great. But, you know, the halo effect, gorgeous does not mean that the guy's a good guy. Gorgeous, gorgeous, you know, just because someone's good looking, you know, I don't think we have to attribute a good guy to that. You know, it's crazy. I just don't think we have to attribute that. Okay, let's move on. Enough of Mel. I'm stressed out. I'm angry over talking about Elle. I am mad as hell. And I'm not going to take it anymore. By the way, what's forgiveness? How do we forgive people like Mel, those racists, those violent, vile people? I don't know. It's a hard thing to do. It can be really liberating. We talked about forgiveness earlier. You know, some of those parents who, you know, forgive the murderers of their children. Woo! That's a whole higher spiritual level, those people. You know? And what makes it so difficult for most of us is to, you know, is the way we define it. You know, it makes it so tough for us. So, you know, we think of forgiveness as meaning that we should say, all is forgotten and things will go back to what they were. Everything's normal. Everything's normal. How can you forgive the unforgivable? But to enjoy the benefits of forgiveness, we don't have to go that far. All that's really required is that we make the decision to move forward, to let go of the old hurts. We don't have to condone what's been done. What's wrong is still wrong. That's wrong. We don't have to invite the person back into our lives or be friendly with them and sing kumbaya and have hug time. Let's have some tea. What we do have to do is allow ourselves to release all the negative emotions associated with that person. It's going to make us sick. We're going to get sick. As long as we hold on to the pain, we're choosing to allow that person's past actions to continue to hurt us. It will keep us from functioning. That old shit makes us sick. We get cancer. We get heart attacks. It's been proven. It's called stress and anxiety and pain. Broken hearts. Broken heart is a real true condition. Look it up. We can choose to stop letting folks hurt us. Okay? That's a definition of forgiveness. It's more doable for those of us who are less saintly, you know, than those people, the parents of the children whose murders they forgive. So, you know, you've got to work on a lot of that anger. And you've got to work on forgiving and letting go. If you don't work on letting go of past hurts in your life, you're going to eat yourself up alive. And then the problem is that everything in your life ahead of that is going, when you're dissed or you feel like you weren't respected or you were hurt by someone or whatever, it just makes that pile of doo-doo bigger. And you add on to it. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're so hurt. And you can't forgive because everything you relate to so many other experiences. The little neurons, you know, that addiction thing goes off in your brain. I'm going to add that to another neural pattern. Whoop! I was hurt. I'm not going to forgive. Never. You got to move on with your life. Got to move on. Got to move on. Because that's the only way you're going to survive. And that's, you know, that's the way it is. And I have a question from a listener. Dear Dr. Michelle, what are some of the things I can do to forgive and move on? Well, I'm going to tell you what you can do for the next show. Beginning of next show, I'm going to tell you because we're going to have to be going pretty soon. It's about time. We've got CBS News coming up. We've got more information for you. But I do want to tell you that if you keep hanging on to anger, Mal, if you keep hanging on to past hurts, if you keep hanging on to old things that trigger your button, then you're going to be sick. You're not going to be well. Anxiety is going to kill you. So you got to feel better. You got to lower your anger, forgiveness. You got to make yourself better. I'm not talking about denial. I said that earlier. I'm talking about taking care of your health. Yeah, it's always good to get some kind of a cognitive therapist who can kind of help you do behavioral tricks to lower your anxiety and your stress and your anger and make you look at things a little bit better and moving on with your life, forgiving other people. And that's the way it is. If you want to write me and respond to this show today, I'd love to hear from you. You can find me on my website at drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. And that's two L's, by the way, in my name. And there you can link on to my email address if you have any questions or comments, which is docmichelle@aol.com. And again, there's two L's in my name. And I thank you so much for being here today, for showing up. I thank you for calling in, and I thank you for your emails. Really nice stuff. Really good, good questions. And I hope I helped you out, too. Well, this is Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist, saying bye-bye. Have a great weekend. You can download this show tomorrow if you want, and forever and ever, if you want to hear some of the stuff we talked about. Have a great, great time. Think a little more positively. Don't go to the bad place. Go to the higher place. And take care of yourself so you can be better for others, too. That's the way it works. Take care. You can stay on the couch if you'd like. Bye-bye.